actually have kind of a funny story that since you guys follow me on Twitter, you probably know that I might have started a Twitter trending topic. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Have you seen this close eyes, draw Batman thing that's been going around?
Oh,
Oh yeah,
yes.
was that you?
Yeah, I did that, and then I'm pretty sure that I did it first, 'cause, and then do you guys know MEC? She's like an artist, and she's anyway, she has quite a lot of followers, and she follows me, and then she did it, and then it kind of spread around. So, and last I heard, it was trending topic in Toronto.
Oh, nice.
Excellent.
So that was a bit of a weird reaction, but kind of fun.
I think that makes you internet royalty now.
Yeah, we're
Yeah.
hanging with the cool kids now, guys.
Yeah.
If only I could monetize that.
Strategize, just gotta diversify your internet portfolio.
Oh yeah, I've really gotta bring a lot of synergy to this movement, you know?
Webcomics Company Podcast. Visit www.webcomics.co.
Hello and welcome to a special 10th episode of the Webcomics Company podcast, now going weekly, because we recorded so much on our last podcast that we've got 2 weeks worth of recordings. I'm Zoe Kirk-Robinson and I'm here this week with James Spence from Girls in Space. You can find that at girlsinspace.co.uk. Luke Healy from Swanee Nook, which can be found at swanneenook.com. And Luke Searle, who can be found at lukesearle.com. And you can find my work at zoerobinson.com, which is the best place to go to find everything that I'm involved in this year, because there's far too much to talk about here. Let's get straight into it.
I had a, I don't know what it actually means, but a top tweet the other day when I said something and it got retweeted a
few times.
And yeah, it's in fact you could sort of try and sort of start watching it, and you think, oh, this is my baby. Look how it's growing. And
what tweet was it? What did it say?
Oh, it was a joke about homeopathy. I think what did it say? It said, sadly, there is an actual organization called Homeopaths Without Borders. This is actually true. Or in French, Médecins Sans Médecins.
I remember that.
Got
good one.
Retweeted by the wife of Professor Brian Cox. So that's
cool.
That's my internet claim to fame for last weekend. But yeah.
That's pretty cool. Top tweets are for like the entire world. Everybody sees that on the front page of Twitter.
I don't know. Is that how?
I'm pretty sure because I remember. A while ago, someone I was following was like, oh my gosh, I got a top tweet. So then I checked the front page and theirs was up, and they're American, so I think it's worldwide.
Okay. I got about 3 extra followers from it. I mean, no bearing on that.
Well, yeah. Still, though, it's a good joke. Capital work, etc.
Thank you very much.
So, yes, this topic. What would you guys like to discuss?
Was it starting a second comic?
Yeah, let's do that one.
I think it's one that we've been talking about doing for a while, but keep running out of time.
Yeah.
We'll finally make time for today. This is our resolution. Let's do it.
Okay, so starting a second comic. Who wants to start talking on this one?
Well, who has started a second comic out of us?
We certainly have, haven't we, James?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
I also have. Not simultaneously.
I have not.
Oh.
Right. Cool. So, Luke, then Luke Healy. Your first one was Pint Size Pixel. Is that correct?
Yes, a festival of awfulness. But
I noticed that one's not online anymore. Did you take that off just to use the space for your new one?
Yeah, well, basically, I foolishly didn't get, like, a proper host. I have, it's like a cloud drive. So as part of my, it's like a service from Apple called MobileMe, where you can basically... Nice. Yeah, back up your files online from your computer, but it allows you to have a public folder that I can run the website out of. Oh, so nice. I figured, you know, as long as I wasn't getting too much traffic, I'd be able to throw that up online and use that. So I had to take down PintSizePixel in order to put up the new website. But all except one or two of the strips are still on my DeviantArt account. They're all in a separate folder in my gallery.
Right.
So they exist still. In all their shameful awfulness, they're there.
So, what made you decide to stop it and move on to Sony Nook? I'm guessing you sound like you weren't happy with the quality of it. Is that fair? Or
that's pretty fair to say. Yeah, I think at the time I liked it more than I do now. I think though with time, that's a general thing about people's artwork. When they look back, kind of a few cringes always happen. At the time I thought that I'd come up with a really good idea for a second comic, which wasn't the idea for Swanee Nook at all. It was something completely different. And I really wanted to do something long form. So I started working on this idea at the same time that I was still making PintSizePixel, and basically after working through it for a while, I realized it was just a confusing mess, and I decided kind of to shelve it. Then as I was doing PintSizePixel, you know, it kind of an idea came to me, and it was kind of like an evolution of that comic that never was, and that eventually turned into Swanee Nook. And I still have a ton of art for that comic that never happened. And if I kind of look back at it now, I can see a ton of stuff that came out of it. So it was really kind of like a eureka moment where I realized that there was a story I really wanted to do. And I just decided that by then it was about a week away from PintSizePixel's 1 year anniversary. I just decided that once it hit 1 year, I would switch it out and start the new comic.
Right, cool. And so do you feel that having done the, like, your first comic, did that stand you in a better stead, do you think, for doing the second one?
Definitely yes, 100%. If I could give advice to people who are thinking about starting a comic, if they have a really good idea, I would say, and this might seem a little weird, but I would say try to do a few short stories first. Comic short stories and put them online, because it'll help just in a huge way.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that. Because
then, you know, you're not stuck with the start of your big comic that you want to do for the next 10 years. You're not stuck with the start of that looking like a horrible crap like I was.
You have to wrap up 10 years worth of story in like 1 week.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, just do some short ones first, and even if you know your comic making skills don't improve that much, you'll learn so much more about actually getting it on the internet and interacting with people who read it and stuff. So yeah. I think it's really, really good idea.
Yeah,
excellent, cool. So Zoe, you obviously have got. Now, I don't even know how to describe how many you've got, because you've got Nobty Mouse all over the house, and then your new Inkproof Canon is a sort of a combination of many, many comics. So
yes, Inkproof Canon's an anthology comic, which I think I could have started a bit better, given that I've only actually got 5 episodes up, and it's meant to have 10 by now.
All right, okay. you've sort of gone the opposite way from Luke, though, in that rather than finishing off a comic to start the next one, you've kept the old ones still going.
I have, yes. The main reason I've done that is because All Over the House was never meant to be a webcomic. When I started with webcomics, I had The Life of Naughty Mouse, and I was having a lot of good fun with that. And Jennifer came in and started helping me write it so that we could keep up a faster schedule. And while we were working, we were thinking, this is good, but I wanted to do something that was basically the brainchild of both of us, rather than just me and her helping with my idea. So we designed All Over the House, which is designed as a newspaper comic, and the idea was to send it out to syndicates. But me being me, I hadn't really looked into what syndicates were about, and it turns out that they're all dying off. So we got rejections back from people saying, it's not what we can sell to newspapers right now, the market's just not there. So I thought, well, if the market's not there for this in newspapers, perhaps it's there on the web, because I've seen stuff like this before, and it's been quite successful. So we stuck it online. And because we'd been sending them out to syndicates, we had 5 months' worth of buffer when we started up All Over the House. So that gave me plenty of time to actually try and make the artwork better. So that one improved a lot quicker than Knob Mouse did. So that's the story of All Over the House. And I ran it on alternate days to Knob Mouse, so that when I got to the point where the buffer was used up and I'd finished practicing, I could be updating Knob Mouse, then update All Over the House, and it wouldn't impinge on each other.
Right.
And that gave me plenty of time to actually practice and get used to it and decide whether we were going to keep both of them or end one and start with the other. And in the end, it turned out that practice actually helps improve the speed that you can make them at, so I can make them all and keep them both running.
Excellent. Cool.
Do you have a question for the team? If so, pose it at www.webcomics.co.
Webcomics Company Podcast.
So what made you decide then to enhance your portfolio this year with the Inkproof Cannon?
The biggest problem I've had in the last few years is the amount of time I'm spending with comics isn't giving me time to work on other projects. I decided last year I wanted more time to make stuff that wouldn't actually fit with Knob Mouse or All Over the House. They've got very distinct styles. And one of the most important things is you don't mess with the style of your comic. People expect a certain thing. So I couldn't tell all of these stories that I had in my head. And I decided, you know what, I'm just going to do it. So I put up Inkproof Cannon as a way of basically downloading all these ideas from my brain onto the internet.
Cool.
So when you see some of this weird stuff that comes up, you think, right, I can see why you didn't want that in your head anymore.
And at the moment you have, is it 5 different stories running? Or
yeah, it's meant to be 5, but only 3 of them are up. We've had a bit of a problem getting the artwork for Sol Invictus, my space opera that I'm writing, and John Ashworth is drawing. He's having a little bit of trouble with scanning, so I may have to go and pick up the art and scan it myself. So that one's not up yet. But the other one with the Time Freaks, which is supposed to run on Fridays, is a bit of a joke. I just haven't been able to get the art right for it. And it's basically what you were saying earlier, Luke, where you don't want to be looking back at what turns out to be bad art. I want it to look right before I put it up.
That's a good plan.
Yeah, I mean, I think particularly with the early strips, you know, you'll want people come in, they'll want to start reading it, and if it doesn't look right to begin with, then, you know, it might put people off who, you know, otherwise would probably give it a chance and go through it.
Yeah, that's it exactly. I don't want them to think, this might be good, but I can't even look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, like, everyone's going to get better with time, that's just how it works, but I think, you know, there is a way that you can just make sure that you do your absolute best for all the strips, and yeah. You probably won't come to regret doing that in time. I don't think you're going to look back and be like, oh, I wasted so much time doing those first few strips. You know, I think you'll be thankful for that work you put in.
That's yeah. Exactly. You can look back and think, well, that's not very good, but I did my best, rather than that's not very good because I rushed it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So that's
I think. Yeah, I think a lot of first-time comic starters are rushed. I know that mine certainly was, my first comic. The first few were very sloppy, And they were really, everything was there just to facilitate the joke, even though the joke wasn't like refined or very well written. It was just like, I had this joke and I wanted to tell it, so I did it very fast. But, you know, and I think maybe even, because the version I'm doing of Swanee Nook now is the second run through, as you guys know. I think even when I look back at the start, I thought, oh, I had this really great idea. I'm just going to start writing it and drawing it without a script. I think it really shows when I look at now. Actually, just this morning, I looked back at all the old ones, and oh, good God. Yeah, I'm so glad I restarted. I don't regret it for a second. So what about you then, James? Because, yeah, you're on your second comic as well.
Yeah, well, in fact, Girls in Space is my third comic. I had one that existed for a wee while that I took down. I started with Dr. Sheep and the Aardvark, and it kind of started as a newspaper-style comic strip, and I found it was quite difficult to get readers in. I think it was because it was very difficult to convey what the strip was about. It sort of told a story about this aardvark who lost all his memories, and he wakes up in a community of sheep, and the sheep, you know, decide to help him restore his memories. And it was quite difficult to convey that to people, and you know, for people to think, you know, maybe I'd quite like to read that. So I ultimately, you know, I managed to tell the story. I got it to the end, but I decided I didn't really want to sort of carry on with it. I felt, basically, I got up to something like about 150 readers, and then it just never grew from there. It just stayed at that constantly. So I thought, rather than you know, fight against the current on it, I'll try and do something different for the next one. So the next one, I had what I thought at the time was a brilliant brainwave, but now I look back and kind of shudder, which was, I thought, maybe I should look for where there's sort of an audience of people already sitting out there, and if I was able to come up with a concept that would just fit into that audience, then, you know, that's guaranteed success right there. So I came up with the cat comic, and the cat comic was, my idea was that it would be a sort of gaggedy comic, a single panel thing. I thought, you know, cat comics, everyone likes cat comics, you know, there's tons of them on the internet, how bad can it be? I discovered, firstly, I'm not very good at writing single panel jokes. And secondly, I sort of lost interest in just, you know, I like cats, but it was all consuming. You know, all I was thinking about was cats, you know, it just wasn't really what I was hoping from a comic. So ultimately, I decided to get rid of it, to take it down. It was helped by the fact that I had a big computer crash, and I actually foolishly hadn't taken a backup of any of it, so I lost all the high-res versions of the cat comic. Mm-hmm. So I've still got all the low-res ones, and because I'd had that sort of disaster with the computer, I just thought, there's no point carrying on with it. I'd really lost heart in the project. So out of that, it was definitely a webcomic fail. However, I had been planning Girls in Space for quite some time, sort of while I was doing Dr. Sheep and the Aardvark, and I sort of liked the idea that you could convey very quickly what the comic was about. You know, girls in space, it's obviously science fiction. Hopefully it would sound like a reasonably appealing title for a comic. So I kind of tried to build on what I'd done previously, and because I was sort of telling a sort of longer story, I didn't want to do it like a comic, like a newspaper strip. I thought it probably would be better to try and do a long form comic. So sort of just each time that I started one, I tried to think about what would be the best way to approach it. And yeah, it's difficult. You sort of go into the comic And certainly for me, like whenever I start a new project, I always think, right, I want to do this the best way I possibly can. And just like you guys, you look back on it now. Like when I look back on the first few Girls in Space strips, now I kind of think, oh crikey, you know, why was I drawing that way? You know, they look kind of wonky, and so. It's nice to kind of see it progress over time, and I look forward to seeing what it's going to look like in the future as out of curiosity for. So sorry, yeah. That was a bit of an information dump there.
Oh, it was interesting. I never knew that you had an in between comic about cats.
Yes, so. Yeah. a lot of people didn't. yes, it was a sort of stealth webcomic that the internet largely ignored.
I think that's like most webcomics, unfortunately. I think that you brought up an interesting point, which was, when you started Girls in Space, you wanted to do the full page. I think it's really important to pick the style for what's appropriate for what you're doing, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Because people are just used to certain conventions.
That's it, definitely.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I find that really interesting. Like, I have so much respect for, like, Luke and Zoe, obviously you two as well, James, but in this regard, but, like, I could never write, like, a three-panel gag or a one-panel joke. Like, that's beyond me. And I find that really impressive when people do that. So
I can't write long form, so it's it goes both ways.
I couldn't write three panel jokes until I started learning how. It's a learned talent. It's all you need is practice.
At the present moment, I could not write three panel jokes. I think I would be one of those awful comics. You know, the ones that are just like. Things are happening. And the third panel, it's like wacky, crazy, unexpected explosion.
So just like every comic I've written.
No, you know what I mean.
Not at all.
You know, no, don't you dare. But you know the comic I'm talking about. You know where it's not actually a joke, it's just something weird.
Yeah.
Oh, random comics.
Yeah, where there's no build up, you know, there's no feed line. It's just like, and their punchline is just like, oh, I exploded.
Yeah, and more often than not, the middle panel is just the, you know, blank. Them sort of staring at each other.
Oh yeah, yeah. Or sometimes there's four panels, and the last panel is just people staring awkwardly at the punchline, no matter what they say.
Yeah, I love that. It's the webcomic equivalent of, oh, sorry, we left the camera running.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? Sometimes it can work. I think some comics do it. I think like Cyanide and Happiness occasionally pulls off that quite a good, you know, it's like it builds tension before the joke if people are just staring. But
yeah,
I think that a lot of new webcomic people, well, I try to avoid saying new webcomic people. What I mean basically is people who aren't funny and want to make a webcomic. That seems really mean, but you know what? It happens. Instantly just go to that wacky crazy stuff happens in the last panel for no reason, you know, as a joke.
Yeah.
I don't know, that's just a personal pet peeve, but you know what, there's probably an audience out there for it, so you know, more power to them.
That's it.
I'm just trying to remember the name of the best example of the wacky stuff. I can't remember the name. It's about this penguin and I can't remember what it's called.
It's not Smuff, no?
No, okay. Smuff had one panel, and it was the ultimate in succinctness. It was just that character, and we don't even know whether his name's Smuff or not. And he's just blissfully happy standing in the field.
With a rainbow, so enigmatic.
Yeah, it's the ultimate comic. You can tell it's the ultimate comic, because people are still talking about it years later.
It's like a minimalist statement, I think, for the world of webcomics.
Yes, I think that's a very good example. Yeah, the one I was thinking about, it's a bit of an oddity. It's got this penguin in it, and it's not very well drawn, and it's not very well lettered.
I know the one you mean, actually.
And all I can remember from it, I can't even remember where it is, but it was a penguin saying, "I like chess, it's like ballet, only with more explosions." That was it.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And
that's Pokey the penguin.
That's the one. That's it, yeah. Yes. So I like that one. That's a very good example of just randomness. I think the technical term is Dadaism. It's an art movement that's turned up before surrealism.
Oh, cool.
I have heard of it, but I couldn't tell you what it is. So I'll believe you right now.
My art, when I was still studying art, was very much surrealist based, so I kind of know about Dadaism a little bit, but mainly surrealism.
Cool.
So that's my claim to knowledge.
You are listening to the Webcomics Company podcast. Stay tuned for more banter.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to ask Luke Searle if he had ever considered starting up a second comic.
The thing is, because what I do has no real boundaries with any form of characters. If I were to just make more stuff, then it would just be a question of really making five comics a day rather than five comics a week. Sorry, not a day. Rather than three, I have branched out with little. I did for a month where I did a whole series of puns on an alphabetical theme on one thing, and I quite like. But I don't really have any sense that there's a story or even any small short story inside me that I particularly want to write. So it's not the boundaries of what I do are loose enough anyway that
I'm interrupting you.
No, you don't.
I was just going to say, did you mention in a previous podcast that you were interested in screenwriting or sort of script writing? And
I'm an actor. That's my other hobby. And I've thought about maybe trying to write sort of sketches, comedy sketches.
Right.
Perhaps a similar exercise to writing a comic. I sort of feel that for of all other arts, comic art is most similar to either film or theatre in the way that you essentially direct your characters around. With a comic, they don't answer back and only red M&Ms in their dressing room. it's a little trickier because a sketch is probably the equivalent of a 4 or 5 panel comic, where it's quite hard to put on stage a single panel stuff equivalent of. So maybe at one point, but not right now.
Cool.
So guys, if we are starting second comics, what would be your top tip for anyone wanting to do it?
For me, I would say, I mean, I suppose that the big advantage of the second comic is that most people will have discovered for themselves by that stage, you know, where their strengths lie for one thing, and also you know what the benefits are of planning something out versus going ad hoc, and you'll know what sort of things you're better at drawing and things like that. So I suppose, I don't know how I can translate that into a piece of advice for, I guess learning from the experiences that you've had from the first one, and try and play on your strengths, I guess. Sorry, that's rubbish, but
no, that's just good.
That's good. Play on your strengths is a very good tip.
I think if I had to give advice, it would pretty much be the same as if someone was starting their first comic, which is, you know, with your second comic, you're basically getting a clean slate. So don't be afraid to take the time between finishing your first comic and starting your second one to put a lot of work into the second one before you start putting it online. And by that I mean, you know, do character sheets, do a script, or at least an outline of what you want to do. This is if you're doing a long form comic. And then take the time not posting anything to make a buffer. That's the best advice that I could give, because I wish I had done that.
My tip would be very similar to that. So, yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. But it's interesting that you would come from the point of view of stopping the first strip to start the second one.
Sorry. Obviously, you can run both of them, but I was just thinking of my case. So yeah,
that's fair enough. But I'm very much of the opinion that if you've got an audience already, stopping the first one before and then taking a break and starting the second one is going to lose you that audience to a certain extent. I would prefer to go from the point of view of build up your character sheets and get used to your characters for the second comic while the first one is still going. And then once you've got a buffer of strips while the first comic's still going, start posting them and kind of try and lead people from your first comic over to your second one. Like, hey, look at what I'm doing over at x.com as well as what I'm doing here. I'm having fun over there. Maybe you will too. That kind of thing.
Yeah,
so you're starting to build your second comic's audience before the first one finishes.
Yeah, that's good advice, actually.
Yeah, I guess maybe that didn't come into my mind, because in order to preserve the audience you have to have an audience, which I did not, so...
Well, to be honest, I still don't have an audience, but I'd like one.
Yeah, me too. I was listening to Webcomics Weekly the other day, and they were like, you know, all those small comics, you know, that only have like 400 or 500 views per update. It's like, oh, I wish, wish I had 500 views per update. That would be cool.
My record is 300 in a day. I don't even get to what they call a small comic. I've only been doing this for longer than all of them.
Hey, don't feel too bad. 300 in a day is about 100 times bigger than what I get.
I got that in one day because the HP Lovecraft podcast pointed people to me. And then they all went away.
Oh, no. Oh. It's like dangling the dream.
It's very fickle like that.
It is. I was expecting that to happen when they started coming over. I was thinking, well, they're coming to see this one comic, and once they've finished, it's going to go. So I'll enjoy it while it's there. And I did, but even when I had that mentality, seeing the readership drop off afterward still was like, oh, no.
Oh. It's difficult because you guys both have really good comics. Like, I enjoy reading both of them.
Thank you.
What are you guys doing to, like, how do you go about promoting the comics? Do you think it's maybe just people are just not finding the comic, because I mean they're good.
Oh, that's lovely, thank you.
It is nice to hear.
At least somebody saying that.
It's someone who's not my mum loves my
For me, I think it's largely a case of people not finding it, because I really want to get more in my archive before I start any kind of advertising. So really the only new sources of traffic I'm getting are either people finding me through Twitter or through the webcomic list forums, or occasionally DeviantArt. So my readership is fairly steady, and I'm pretty happy with that for the moment.
Cause, I mean, it feels like with Swanee Nook, I mean, it seems like there would be an audience for it, you know, like it's, you know, kids in a magic shop, but, you know, you'd think if you could tap into maybe like the people who enjoy Harry Potter, for example, you know, or something along those lines, you'd probably be able to get quite a lot of people who are interested in what you're doing.
I kind of have thought in the past about who would be reading my comic, and to be honest, the most similar audience I could think of in terms of other webcomics is probably something like Gunner Craig Court or Bad Machinery.
Yeah,
Bad Machinery.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, actually, yeah.
I think with Bad Machinery, I know that John Ellison is thinking, I mean, his numbers have gone down since Scaring Around, and he's basically thinking, well, this is a comic really aimed at children, and children... young children are not so much using the internet independently, or they're not really part of the webcomics sort of traditional circle, which is basically 20, 30-year-old people between probably the ages of 16 and 30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you thought of trying to, maybe in more in print, go towards a more young audience?
It has occurred to me, and I think that when I have enough material, I think I would like to bring it to a publisher, but in terms of actually doing it, I'd like to have it all done before I start any of that, if you know what I mean. Maybe not the entire story finished, but you know, maybe get up to 100, 150 pages before I really start pushing it too hard. But I think I'm going to start running some ads when I hit the start of chapter 2, which is actually, I have almost finished the penultimate page of chapter 1, the eternal chapter. So yes! So that'll probably go up tonight or tomorrow morning, and I just, yeah, I can't wait to stop drawing the inside of this stupid shop for a few pages. Amazing.
Actually, Luke, now I'm thinking about it, have you considered trying to get in with kids' educational systems? A lot of children these days are learning how to use the internet and how to use computers. And if you can get in at the right time with teachers and parents helping kids not only to learn about the internet but also learning to read, then you might find that you have an audience there.
Maybe. I mean, yeah, I haven't really thought about marketing my comic too much. Right now I'm pretty much concerned with producing it. But you know, down the road, I'd love to kind of do some stuff like that with it. I have a friend, and he and I at the moment are translating into Irish.
Oh, wow.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's kind of a fun thing. And I know that any media that's in Irish, especially for kids, is just snatched up like super fast.
I bet it is.
Oh wow.
Yeah, because there's just none, and they need anything like that as teaching aids in school.
Oh, that would be so cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That would be pretty amazing. So I try something like that further down the line.
Yeah, well, I mean, one thing you could do is, you know, you could go around schools and things with, well, once you've got a printed version of it, and actually, you know, arrange to do readings and things with the kids. And you might find if you go to even like some private schools and things, these kids have a lot of money and they'd probably, you know, be able to, you know, throw some money your way to pick up copies of it, you know, get a signed first edition, you know.
Oh my gosh, should be worth so little money.
Oh, that's lies.
The Webcomics Company Podcast. It may not be a real company, but it's a real podcast.
It doesn't matter if it's worth a little money, as long as lots of people give you a little money.
That's true. Look at Minecraft. That guy's like a millionaire.
I wish I'd thought of that.
Oh, I know. Tell me about it. It's like $10 to buy it, or it was when it was out anyway, and it had something like 800,000 downloads.
Yep.
Oh, if only. Sorry.
Just imagine his tax bill on that.
It's sizable, I'd imagine, or the PayPal's cut. I'd say PayPal loves him.
Yeah, PayPal was between 5% and 30%.
Oh no! Ooh,
yeah.
Good day for PayPal, though.
Yeah, PayPal probably sent him a package saying thanks. Was made out of his money.
I'd say that, you know, he's not that annoyed because he's getting like, say, what, 5 million euro? He's just like, oh no, PayPal took 3 million of my euro.
I know. All I've got now is some millions.
That paid off some like weird geometry based Java application. You know, yeah. That's a clever guy.
I have to say, I don't know what you guys are talking about. Minecraft is a computer game.
It's a computer game. It's a virtual reality computer game that has its own physics engine, and it's quite an advanced system for what is effectively a very, very simple looking system. A person's actually built a working computer inside it, for example.
Oh, right.
And it seems to be becoming quite popular.
It's quite hard to explain without having seen it.
Yeah.
Basically, you mine the blocks. Everything is like a cube. Every single object in the world is a cube. So you like mine blocks of stone and then build a house out of them. It's kind of like Lego, but with mining. It doesn't seem all that appealing unless you actually play it, and just it's so addictive.
All I know is my computer is not good enough to play it. So.
My computer
is not very good.
I haven't even tried playing it. I looked at some pictures on YouTube and thought, no, I will never be seen again.
Yeah, it ruined my entire Christmas break so far. But yeah, no, it's a good game. And basically, yeah, the whole thing is that it was just some like student thing that he made, like a little demo, and then offered people access to the game. It's only a beta at the moment for 10 euro, and 800,000 people took him up on that offer.
Wow.
So yeah, quite a success story.
Yeah, crikey.
And it's kind of interesting in terms of a publishing context for webcomics, because we're kind of seeing that you know, the people who are making a living on webcomics are essentially offering everything themselves, or doing it with like a small company like Topatoko? I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Topatoko, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so it's kind of an extension of that, where he made the game and marketed and sold it himself. And it's, you know, he didn't go to a publisher. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of that in terms of music and comics and games at the moment. So I think maybe that would be a good topic for another podcast, about how self-publishing and the internet is really taking off at the moment.
Yeah, that would be great, actually, yeah.
But, yes. So I hate to ruin the party. It's been an hour and a half.
Yeah,
oh, that's brief. It has, yes.
Yeah, I imagine a substantial amount of that is pre-show chatter.
It is. shall we wrap this up by talking about the idea James had about what we were going to be doing for promotion? We're pretty much on promotion now.
Maybe what we should do is we had been thinking about doing talking about a different promotional idea sort of each podcast, and all sort of trying it out, and we had thought maybe we could have talked about building a Facebook page, but maybe what we should do, as we're kind of coming to the end just now, is as homework, we could maybe each go away and create our Facebook pages, and then we could talk about it next week and see how we all got on.
That sounds good. Okay, yeah. I think we can do that.
I can do that. Does anyone have a Facebook page at the moment?
I do.
I've got four.
Right. I set one up, but I've not done a lot with it. So I was thinking I would probably try and figure something out to see if I can even bring in one reader with it.
Sounds good.
Okay, well, that's our task for this week, and this message will not self-destruct.
I hope.
Yeah, that's right. That would be funny if someone was listening to the podcast and then through a completely unrelated thing, their computer just started to smoke.
That actually happened to my computer once, and I can tell you that it was not funny at the time.
Oh, no.
But you're laughing about it now.
Well, yeah, it turned out that there was a lamp beside the computer that was melting the monitor. So, that was not good at all. But, you know... I find it funny now. Not at the time, though, when a smoke started coming out of my computer and it started to melt, and I was like, what? It was a stressful moment right there. But anyway, yes, sorry. I've cut off the outro.
That's okay. And on that note, shall we say goodbye, everyone?
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Webcomics Company podcast. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Webcomics Company podcast. See you in 2 weeks' time.
So which is the one that you don't currently read?
Oglaf, which is an experience to the years archive of that. It's not the usual thing.
It's pretty funny, though. I think it's hilarious.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
Excellent. So, I have to admit, it's one I don't currently know, but I'm just looking at it just now. It looks pretty cool, actually.
It's very blue.
Yeah, it's well. You probably got the warning when you click it. This is this was started as an attempt to draw pornography. It's a Gagger Day comic strip.
Right, I'll read this one at home, I think. All right, I've just clicked on the very first picture, and yeah, I'm definitely thinking it's not a work one.
Yeah, not really. But yeah, they have they do have in their archive, they have all of their strips rated for what kind of content they have in them, and there are some, there are a few that are not quite as lewd, but yeah, for the most part, it's a sex fantasy Gagaday comic. It's very weird, but I think it's hilarious. It's very well written.
Excellent.
Right, it's a bit raunchy. If you go to the first story that comes up when you got the site and press previous story, it's like, no, the first piece of dialogue I saw, it's like, oh no, this is not for me.
Yeah, you have to, I guess, I'm not usually into that kind of rude humor, but just, I think it's just really, really, the jokes are really well written.
They are. It's like looking at Frankie Boyle's stand-up routine.
Yeah, comparisons definitely could be made.